Yes,
There you
I
go.
am. Thank you very much. I've done this workshop before. It's called Al-Anon Tools Workshop. And as a matter of fact, I did it when Scott, whose name was mentioned earlier, and Bolte's name, it was in their vicinity. Scott actually stood in for me as a Friday night speaker when my airplane was stuck in Atlanta, Georgia, and I got to Montgomery, Alabama, I think probably around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. So I did the Saturday workshop, and this is what it was. I've not done it on this format before, so please bear with me. And also, because of the situation we are all are living in, my cataract is in my right eye is particularly nasty. So if you see me blinking or looking or turning to the side, I just feel kind of weird about that. So anyway, my workshop's name is Al-Anon Tools. And my name is Chuck L., and I'm a grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon. And I say that because, wow, since we zoomed into this thing, I am meeting people from all parts of the world. I thought I knew a lot of Al-Anon people before, and that within the past couple months has expanded quite a bit. I've heard the Serenity Prayer in many different languages and really appreciate that. And really, when I look at that, that is part of our tools. Our Al-Anon tools have expanded immensely. And I really appreciate the effort put in by the people that are handy with those tools, including Yvonne and a lot of other people. Really appreciate that. Okay, I'm going to get started. And what I've done is I have an introduction that I'm going to share with you folks. And then also I'm going to do three separate sections of this workshop. So I guess what I'm looking at my clock right now, so I know when to take a break. There will be breaks, and there will be opportunities to share. And we'll leave that up to the people that have the aptitude to run this meeting. So, okay, here we go. Al-Anon Tools. Tool junkies are thinking, wow, toolboxes, tool bags, coffee cans, 5-gallon buckets. My wife, Sandy, is a knitter, and she has bags and buckets of knitting stuff. I mean, knitting needles and circular needles and long needles, and it's just amazing. We all, I should stick to myself. I am really well versed in tools, the particular tools of my hobby. And I'm a wood carver. And so everyone uses tools, and quite often without realizing it. And what comes into my mind is that chimpanzees and birds use tools. So it's not only humans that have this ability to adapt things to their own use. I've watched birds and squirrels, and we have blue jays right outside our windows. And those little buggers are thieves. I mean, they know how. Last night we were watching, right from where I'm sitting right now, we were watching the robins going crazy. And when we looked over, the blue jays were getting into their nests, the robin's nest. And they were just trying, I suppose the blue jays are getting food, which would have been the little robins. But they're just doing what they need to do. I've also watched them, watched the blue jays watch the squirrels. And when the squirrels would bury a peanut, the blue jays would go down and dig it up. So they use tools quite effectively. Some tools are simple, some are complex, and some work and some don't. But we keep trying to use tools. Some tools are specific, and some are general tools. Some can be modified to meet our needs, and some are multi-purpose. For example, a Swiss Army knife. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with a Swiss Army knife that has so many blades that can be popped out. And it's a very interesting tool. As a matter of fact, I have what's called a Gerber tool on my side right now. And I used to joke about every man, you're not a man unless you have a Gerber tool and know how to use it. So That's stuff. That's tools. I'm a wood carver, and I have three main tool rolls full of chisels, knives. I have mallets and dental picks. I've even made my own sit-down workbench, which is really cool. I've used it quite a bit. I have more tools than I realize. Some of you tool people will understand what I'm saying. Some I use a lot. Some are quite specialized, and I don't use them very often. But here's where an old tool comes into play, a rationalization. If I see a tool, I can rationalize into getting it, picking it up, simply because, hey, carving tools are my thing. I love them. Sandy's that way with her knitting. Oh, my gosh. She's got knitting needles of every size and shape, and she uses them all. And she's got this little gauge where she sticks these needles down in there to see what size they are so she can use them properly. Some tools, they're just like an extension of my hand. And other tools are I don't use very often. They're specialized, and I don't feel comfortable with. But if I need a tool, I know it's in the tool roll, a tool bag, tool roll, because I do an inventory. I do a periodic inventory of my tool rolls, which is quite a production. When I'm carving, I have to clarify this. My youngest son calls me the prince of analogy, the king of metaphor. So I use analogies a lot. And this whole tool thing that I'm getting into, I'm using the analogy that I'm familiar with, and that's carving tools. And then I'm going to go into segue into Elanon tools. So I'm going to start out this way. Usually when I start on a piece, I have a general idea of what I'm going to do with it. Quite often I have begun the carving, not sure of the finished product will look like. No two pieces are exactly the same. And also sometimes my mistakes or an imperfection in the wood will lead to an unexpected, though welcome, result. However, sometimes I need to start over from the beginning. That's kind of like step one. And what I think about that is I tend to resist starting over when I'm carving a piece and I see something that I've done or something that's happened or an imperfection in the wood where I can't quite modify it. I resist that. And sometimes I get frustrated with that. And I'm sure all of us working our Elanon programs, our Elanon with our Elanon tools, have been frustrated at some point. This is something that's really important for me. When I'm tired, I need to stop. When I push the limits, I lose my focus. And I'm the one that usually pays the price. Sometimes that price is painful, and I've got a few scars to attest to that theory. I'm left-handed, so most of the scars I have from carving are on my right hand. Although there is one on my right leg, that's a whole different story from when I was carving, and it was an whoops moment. I learned by working with and observing and listening to others share their experience, strength, and hope. We have a commonality. And that goes for carving, and it also goes for my Elanon tools. I have to learn how to use those. My father-in-law, bless his departed soul, used to get something in a box, and there would be directions with it. And the directions would go over his right shoulder, and he'd just start putting stuff together. And there were some pretty interesting results from that. And when I took a look at it, a lot of times I have been guilty of doing that same thing, of using a tool, trying to put something together, and not having the basics. And Elanon helps me with that basics. I was watching a PBS special about the brain, public broadcasting, and the narrator was speaking of healthy regions of the brain taking over for damaged areas. And he explained it this way. When repairing your car, the right tool might be a socket wrench or with a one half inch socket to remove a nut from a bolt. If you don't have one, there are more tools that can be successfully used, such as an open end wrench, adjustable wrench, etc. Now, in our Elanon life, I haven't done that step yet. I hear that a lot at meetings from people, and I've used that a lot myself. Well, I haven't done that step. Or if it's a step four meeting, somebody will say, Well, I'm working on that, so I don't have much to share about that particular step. What could we use to take care of the immediate problem? Because I have used tools that I think would work on a situation where I don't have the particular tool I need. Now, there's a gentleman from Superior. He's now living in Florida someplace. His name is Gary. And I heard him in an open meeting, open AA meeting, a speaker meeting one year, many years ago. And he said a lot of people, there was a donkey in the middle of the road and it was stuck in a mud puddle. And everybody was standing around looking at that donkey, wondering how the heck the donkey got stuck in the mud puddle. And the donkey was still there and the crowd was gathering. And then a gentleman came along and said, let's get the donkey out of the mud puddle. We'll get him out of the mud puddle, then we'll talk about how he got into it. And to me, that was a very good lesson for me to learn, that first I need to do something about the situation often, and then we'll look back and see what we can do about it. And so that's what I think about when I think about the tools that we can use. Because I haven't worked step 4, or because I haven't worked step 8 or step 10, that doesn't mean that I can ignore or put off the situation, especially if it's causing me an immense amount of discomfort. I need to talk to people who have done this. I need to talk to just sharing with my sponsor or somebody else, my Al-Anon brothers in the program, can help me a lot. I can use tools of the program. In searching for the useful tool, we become familiar with the contents of our toolbox. And the reason I chuckle is because I've got some toolboxes, and they're bottomless, and they swallow things that I know I put in there, and they're not there anymore. Finding the proper tool becomes easier when we find what works best in certain instances. We must be careful how we substitute tools. And again, I've learned this the hard way. We may break or damage the tool or do harm to the situation we're attempting to work on. What I think about right now on this, and I've got to put my finger down here so I don't lose where I'm going, is that making amends, for instance, that's a wonderful tool. But I have to learn how to use that tool, or I can do some irreparable harm or damage to other people. And I've had experience in making amends, and I've had experience in accepting amends. And I've had to learn how to gracefully do that. I remember Sandy and I were heading on down to our wood carving conference, ironically enough. And there was an amends made while we were in that truck going down I-35 at 70 miles an hour. That is not the place I learned to make amends. We ended up in a very difficult situation, and we ended up yelling and screaming at one another. And I think that in the small towns that we were heading towards as we were going south, they were evacuating these towns because they could hear us screaming down the freeway, screaming at one another. We went to that carving conference, and it's a situation where we end up in a room with 2 beds, and that's it. And thank goodness that was where we ended up, because we were able to let ourselves calm down and then make the amends that needed to be made. But it wasn't a learning experience for me. I already talked about reading the instructions, and that we listen and learn from others with experience. Preparation is important. Practice makes progress. We all have heard that. Concentrate on the tool you're using. Use what you have with purpose. Today, we'll talk about our old tools, pre-Al-Anon tools, and also our Al-Anon tools, which I've broken down to 3 areas. I've got 3 tool rules, and that's where most of my chisels are, in these 3 tool rules. Our first tool rule is going to be experience. The second tool rule will be strength, and the third tool rule will be help, or hope. I'm sorry. Some tools will fit or may be found in all 3 of these rules, and I'm going to get in that later also. I have a lot of chisels and knives that I use, and I know where they are. First, a partial inventory of our pre-Al-Anon tools. And feel free, if you've got a pre-Al-Anon tool that you don't hear me come up with, I've got a list of it here. Feel free to write those down, because I don't have a full list, and sometimes I just leave things out so other people can think about it. There's a partial inventory of our pre-Al-Anon tools. Aggression, passive or overt, blaming, closed-mindedness, complacency, that was on my fourth step, denial, duplicity, fantasy, and I'm a fantasy kind of guy. I wrote a giant white stallion rescuing maidens in distress for a long time before I came into this program, and sometimes after I was in this program. Thank goodness that my stallion is in the barn. Fear, judgment, lying to myself and others. Rationalization, I mentioned that earlier. Resentment, sarcasm, self-doubt, hatred, loathing, and all this resentment, sarcasm, self-doubt, hatred, and loathing, that was for me, but I also used it for others. Self-righteousness and anger. Those are some of the things that I used. And that's quite a tool bag to carry around. That's a lot of stuff that I have to look at, and it takes time. And also, we'll talk about taking time later on as well. The old tools that I had that I just mentioned to you, plus some others, were used for Band-Aid fixes. We'll take care of this. Everything will be fine. Boom, it's done. Getting our way or our needs met, getting even. I think maybe there's some out here that have gotten even. Hoarding old hurts, manipulation, counter manipulation. Oh yeah, I've got this bag of spears in my back and in my quiver, and you throw one, I'll throw one, kind of thing. Recycle, results. Reuse, satisfaction, security, separation. We used what tools were available at the time of need. We were also familiar with their use. Perhaps not their intended use, like a sledgehammer to open a peanut, or sarcasm to quash a simple question, a voiced feeling or statement. I was a journeyman when it came to sarcasm. I used it well. I used it often. I used it kind of like humor. You would laugh. You would laugh. And that was my point. I wanted to burn somebody, and I wanted you to laugh about it, and then I could feel good about it for those few sections or a few seconds. There were times where I felt absolutely horrid about what I had said to somebody or about somebody or to shut somebody up. But that was a tool I used, and I used it well. And we all know, those of us that have been in Al-Anon for a while, if we look at our books and at our readings, sarcasm, it means to tear flesh. And I knew what I was doing with the sarcasm, but it worked so well in my pre-Al-Anon life. Now I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my experience. And this is a situation that you may be familiar with. My first carving conference that I attended, I had been in Al-Anon for probably 10 years. And I'm going to share this with you, because this is to me, I've heard so many times. Prior to attending my first Al-Anon conference, I considered canceling our trip to the event, as I was wallowing in self-doubt with the thought that I would be the worst carver there, that I didn't belong with such an elite group of artists, and I would fail miserably. But we had already paid for the event, and unless I could break my leg or something, I was committed to a six-day stay. When we arrived, we saw it was a beautiful facility. It was a 100-year-old Catholic girls' school. And the school part had burned down, and the dormitory was left, and it looked like a Norman castle. It was all out of this gray stone, and it had turrets on either end. It was just a beautiful facility. It was on the banks of the Mississippi River, just about 60 miles south of Minneapolis. and next to a beautiful state park. So it was gorgeous. On our first day, Sandy went biking and sightseeing, and I went to my class. And there was, you had a choice of 1 to 5 or 6 classes. You had a choice of those, one of those to pick from. And within a short time, and this is something that I think is just, it's so Al-Anon. In a short time, my apprehension had turned into anticipation and appreciation. Once I got involved, and once I started using my tools at my piece of blank basswood that was sitting on that table, once I got involved, that apprehension started dropping away. And that anticipation and that appreciation was there. I was with men and women who shared a commonality. I quit looking for the differences. We truly shared our experience, strength, and hope in regards to the wood carving, and I had a blast. Those men and women were fun. Some of them were far more into their carving experience than me. Some were less than me. But we were there to learn, to experience, and to use our hands to do that. And it just turned out to be really great. The first year I came home with 2 high relief carvings that still sit in our living room to this day. And one of them I have to share with you was a relief, was a caricature of Einstein. Now, Einstein had a very interesting face. And he was European. But when I started carving my Einstein, I ended up with an Einstein that looked kind of like he may have come from someplace in Asia. And his eyes didn't look quite right. So I'm going, oh man, look at this. This isn't Einstein. And my instructor came up to me and he said, that's not a big deal. Wood is very forgiving. Think about that as a person or a thing that you're working with in your step work. Wood is very forgiving. He says, take out those eyes. Take them out and put them back together the way you want it. And voila, I had Einstein. In that short period of time that took me to erase the eyes and get them back in, Einstein. And right now, if I took you out into my living room, Einstein's looking out my front window at the world. And he's been there for a long, long time. So that took care of that. Those doubts that I had for that carving situation were doubts that I carried into my recovery program. I didn't think I was going to be here being Al-Anon. I didn't think I was going to be here very long. I didn't think I needed it. I was scared. I was nervous. But in this situation, when I was at that carving, thinking about that carving conference and wanting to cancel it because of my fears, my apprehensions, there was a little bit, and I got this phrase from a lady that I know in Al-Anon who drives me nuts. Now, when she shares, I find myself being scratchy and itchy, and I find myself trying to see the fly on the wall and those kinds of things. And this lady was sharing one day, this is quite a few years ago, and she said, I found a whisper of serenity. Holy crap, a whisper of serenity. Man, sometimes in Al-Anon, you get burned into your head something. It's like this hot poker comes, and there it is. And when she said whisper of serenity, I thought about my day when I was carving, that I almost gave it up. And there was that whisper, that Al-Anon whisper came into my mind, and I was able to stay. I was able to have enough courage and conviction to stay. And my goodness, we went to that carving conference for at least 10 years, up until it finally faded away. but it was such a Al-Anon moment for me. I had been in our program for over a decade, but these old tools of inadequacy and fear came creeping back in. Thank goodness we carried through with our plan. And that's the basis of that whole story. Old tools, although useful and maybe necessary to survive at one time, need to be replaced with more current and healthier options. Our outmoded equipment not only can endanger our serenity, but also our safety. Continued use of these poor choices of tools equals poor job outcomes. In other words, if we're doing the same thing, and a gentleman in Al-Anon shared this with at a meeting, and I was sitting right next to him. He was a guy that looked like Johnny Cash. And he was very quiet, and he had this deep voice, and he always wore black leather. And he was a guy about my age. And Ed was sitting next to me one night, and when it was his turn to share, he said these words, which I thought were original with him, but I've come to realize that they're very common in recovery. He said, "Well, I guess if nothing changes, nothing changes. I'll pass." That's all he said. And I thought, holy cow, and that was one of those burning moments. And when I was doing a fourth step because my marriage was endangered because of my behavior, and I almost put that fourth step away, Ed's words came into my head as I was sitting out in my truck with my notepad, and I was ready to put it down, and Ed came into my head, and he said, "If nothing changes, nothing changes, Chuck." And I picked up that notepad, and I continued using that tool to carry it through, and I enjoyed the fruits of my labors, which was a recovery of my self-esteem and an acknowledgement of my part in our situation. That was tools that I used. By doing an inventory, and this is a continuing part of it, I do this with my tools. And I also do this with my Al-Anon tools. By doing an inventory, we can make healthier comparisons between our old and new tools. I do that a lot. Will our new tools fit the job of recovery? Will it be effective? Will these new tools run on positive energy? Or as in the case of many of my old tools, will they run on negative energy? And this is another segue. At this stage of my life, expanding my energy is in the forefront of my mind. Now, I have a finite amount of energy, and I wish to use it in a positive manner. And I want to tell you, this is kind of like energy, and this is what I think about with Al-Anon as well. When I move around, I feel better. When I'm expending my energy in a positive fashion, I feel better. When I get into that recliner because my knee hurts or my back hurts or my neck hurts, when I get into that recliner, it's really comfortable. Wow, this ain't so bad. And I can watch all these reruns on our television and not move, and it feels pretty good. And then I go to get up, and I hurt. If I don't get out and expend some energy and go through a little bit of pain to do that, if I sit on my rear end, my pain gets worse. And then it's harder to get out, and it's harder to move. And that's the way my Al-Anon life is as well. Okay. I've got patience written in my notes. And I'm a good one with patience. I that is not one of my outstanding virtues. Although I have a lot more than I used to have, and I bragged about my patience, and my kids laughed at me. It takes time to do good work. Many times I've had to go back and redo things because I'm hurrying or not being in the present. How many times has our misuse of tools caused confusion rather than harmony? I've been in Al-Anon a long, long time. not as long as some of you, but probably longer than some of you as well. Today, as part of my 10th step, as part of my waking up and talking to the spirit that guides my life, part of what I pray for, and I've been around forever, part of what my prayer says, grant me patience, tolerance, and love. That's just the way it's going to be. And you know, the spirit that guides my life does not get tired of me asking for those tools, because he knows that, or my spirit knows that. If I say he, it's just a form of, yeah, he and she. They call a boat she, and they call somebody else he. So that's the way it goes. Anyway, my higher power knows what's going on, but I have to keep reminding myself of those tools. The other day, I was looking at my toolbox, and I found a stud finder. And you know, I've probably got five of those because I can't find the damn things. And then I go to the hardware store and buy a stud finder. So I need to remind myself of the tools I have, where they're at, and how to use them. And you know what? As even while I'm saying that, my mind is going, you're still going to have to search for them. You're still going to have to look for them. They're there, but you're not going to be the perfect person. So anyway, enough of that. crossword clue. I like the word crosswords. I am an absolute nut when it comes to crosswords and cryptograms. I love to use cryptograms. As a matter of fact, I did a cryptogram and it turned out to be a quote from some famous person, whoever the heck he was. And it had to do with, we created a word, a sorrow for lonely, for being lonely, but we also created a word to boy, did I screw that up, of being lonely and of being alone, the solitude, the joy of solitude for being alone, and they're both for being alone. So I have to think about that. Anyway, back to the crossword. I'm working this crossword, and it's a four-letter word for soon, or in due time, or will be to be. And that four-letter word is anon. And here we are, L anon. Anon, in due time. I think that those people that started out this thing, that Lois and Ham, when they started out this business, I think maybe they were crossword puzzle doers, and they like to use anon as in due time. Anyway, that's where I am with that. That's a little tool to think about. I find Al-Anon stuff in non-conference approved literature. I find Al-Anon stuff when I look up in a tree and I see a nest of robins, or the other day a hummingbird's nest. I see Al-Anon in a lot of places, and I accept it. And I think that the spirit that guides my life put it there for me. We may have tools in a box, tools in a book, receive tools from other people. How many is too many? Do we need a different tool for every situation? I've been in a situation myself, and I've heard other people talk in situations. Some of the guys that I have sponsored in my recovery life. And it's like, I've already done four steps. Let's get on with something else. Or we don't have to, the guy will say, I'd like you to be my sponsor, and we'll get together and talk about it. We'll get together, pray about it, and see. We'll use a tool, which is sponsorship. What's it all about? That's a little pamphlet, which is a tool. And we look at that situation where this gentleman is asking me to be his sponsor. And if we start working on stuff, I have heard these people say to me, I don't need to look at those steps. I've already done them. I've had three sponsors in my life, those tools, three sponsor tools in my life. And I have done a four step with each of them. With the last two, I've done the same four step. because that gentleman who's my sponsor needs to know me like nobody else. And so I have to do that. How many is too many? I don't know. I just keep finding out new tools and new uses for old tools when I go to meetings. One of my most necessary tools is listening. Wow, what a tool. I was too busy with my own head to listen to anything. We need to take care of and care for our new tools. When using new chisels or knives, they have to be prepared before actual use by using a ceramic whetstone and then a leather strop coated with a honing compound. When razor sharp, probably sharper than a razor, we're ready to begin our work. When I looked at my carving tools, when I would first start out with them, when I looked at them as a beginner, they looked sharp enough to me. Oh, they're sharp enough. Heck, I can see that. Well, I'm just going to use that. And no, they were not. I had to learn that. I had to learn that my way. I had to learn that the hard way. I had to watch people sharpen their tools to learn how to use those already sharp tools that I thought. It's also imperative that we keep our Elanon tools in certain order. I have my straight chisels in one roll, my bent chisels in another, knives and palm tools in a third roll. I do have other tool holders as well. In Elanon, we have our experience, strength, and hope, our unity, recovery, and service. These tool rolls hold the tools necessary to complete our work, a piece of work titled, and this is our Elanon piece of work. It's titled Serenity. How often do we hear sharings about serenity? Here's a partial list of conference-approved tool catalogs. I don't know about y'all, and I live in northern Minnesota or northern Wisconsin, and I just said y'all. I don't know where that came from. But here's a partial list of conference-approved tool catalogs. Courage to Change. Now, these are something that I've got, and I'm sure that most of you have. Courage to Change. It says Elanon Tools, 6 page numbers. Hope for Today, Tools. That's all it says, Tools, 17 page numbers. And I've got written down here November 4th and November 10th. And I'm not going to talk to you about those, but they are special in my life. And if you look them up, maybe you'll see in all our affairs, Elanon Tools, 14 page numbers. How Elanon works. The 12 steps, practical tools for change. What a title is that? How Elanon works. This is the title of that chapter, the 12 steps, practical tools for change. So we've got this plethora of tools. We've got all these kinds of tools that we can help. And if you have some lists of tools, you know, your tools, write them down, because we're not done with our tools. And I think that all we need to do is start writing, which is a tool in and of itself. The guys that I sponsor know that I favor writing. In all kinds of situations, I favor writing, because that is one of the best tools that I've used, that I've been challenged with, and that has helped. I remember one night, really quickly, out of my journal, Sandy and I had some words. We were not particularly my journal, and it was a quite scathing review for both of us. For some reason, I turned that page back to the day before, and it was totally the opposite entry. It was of love, it was of peace, it was of caring. Same woman, 24 hours later. Same guy, 24 hours later. And that taught me something. That tool taught me something. That in my head, I can flip a page and go somewhere else. My serenity is fleeting. When I share my story, I like to say that my serenity is like a box of cornflakes or a new Cadillac. It's subject to change without notice. I need Al-Anon, and I need to keep coming back because of that situation. And I am done with my part on experience. And what I'd like to do is, or is it too early? I don't hear anybody saying anything. So,
You blinked out there for a second. I couldn't hear what you were saying, and your internet is a little bit spotty in the moment right now. So, were you going to take a break? Is that what you said?
Yes, that's what I'd like to do for about 10 minutes.
That would be great. I have one.